This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. For Wisconsin law enforcement officers, administering field sobriety tests to determine if someone is drunk driving or not is an all too common occurrence.
While veteran officers may become well-versed in administering these tests, new recruits need to get that experience somewhere.
And for that, they turn to volunteer drinkers. Officers practice standardized field sobriety tests on volunteers, and the drinks are in the house.
Deanna Riley is with us. She's a traffic specialist with the Madison Police Department. She's one of several trainers who help new police recruits determine if someone's had too much to drink. Deanna, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And also along with us is our very own Cynthia Schuster. She was a volunteer drinker in a training session last week. Cynthia, welcome to the other side of Central
yeah,
Time.
Yeah, good to be here.
Well, Officer Riley, the Madison Police Department providing free drinks. How did that come about?
Actually, Madison Police Department is one of the three employer-based academies in the state. We have our own law enforcement academy, and this curriculum is actually part of the 520 that the Department of Justice requires all law enforcement academies to have. So the three state academies, Madison Police, Milwaukee, and Wisconsin State Patrol, as well as all the technical colleges, run law enforcement academies where this SFST training is required as part of the curriculum to become a certified law enforcement officer.
So a volunteer comes in. How do you know how much you're going to serve to them, first of all, before you start testing out the tests?
We have a basic chart that we're given from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and it breaks it down by gender and by weight. And then it gives us some guidance as far as how many ounces to get them to a certain BAC or blood alcohol concentration. So we use that as our guide and our chart, and we go from there asking some preliminary questions of our drinkers as to how frequently they drink, and we ask them typically to come on an empty stomach so that they can absorb that alcohol quicker for us.
Well, we have audio of a volunteer getting results of a test. We'll get into how these tests work in a minute. And the rest of the volunteers are listening in. Let's hear what happened there.
And our king of the night here.
Yeah.
TSC, 0.107, 0.104, 0.087, and your final one just now was 0.098.
What?
In spite of the fact that you did 22 ounces.
So sort of a weird Olympic event, sort of. You're seeing the scores from the judges come up there. Okay, so they've done the drinking. What kind of tests then do the police trainees run?
We have them perform the standard field sobriety test, which is the horizontal gaze nystagmus test. It's where we're looking for the eye to jerk as it's moving side to side. We have them perform a walk and turn test, which is 9 steps down a line, turn around in a prescribed fashion, and return back 9 heel to toe steps. And the third of those three is the one-leg stand. They're also taught some alternate tests that they may throw in there as well just to get some experience and exposure to those on impaired people.
And then we were hearing people's blood alcohol levels with a breathalyzer, I assume?
Yes, we use a preliminary breath test unit.
And is this part of the thing being trained, or is that to gauge how well the officers did in assessing intoxication?
We use it in twofold. One, to make sure that we as the dosers are getting them to a level that we are trying to obtain. We don't want anyone to get too high on their alcohol level. But also it helps to let the officers get some feedback at the end of the night how they did in their decisions to arrest or not arrest these volunteers.
We'll get into more of what they learned in a bit. But Cynthia Schuster, let's bring you in on this. You were a volunteer drinker. What was that experience like, having the police have you drink for testing?
Yeah, well, I had never heard of this until I did the Citizens Academy. I thought, well, that makes sense. These officers need to learn on a live subject in, you know, ideally a safe environment. So it was interesting to be a part of that. They ask you what you want to drink, and you tell them, and you can even name a brand, and they'll provide it if it's possible. And last year, I did this. This is my second year. The last year I did it, I was an over, meaning I elected to be someone who would drink above the limit. And this year I was an under. Last year I did not tell them how much I weighed. I just assumed that they would weigh me. And I wound up getting a lot of alcohol as a result. I don't know if they were eyeballing me and thinking I had a high tolerance, but that was an interesting experience. This time it was a little bit more tame.
So you drank, and then as we heard, they did the test, the walk in a straight line and looking at your eyes. Even though you hadn't just gotten out of a car driving, Was it a nerve-wracking experience to have police having you walk the line there?
Yeah, it was. It is nerve-wracking. And then you have two or three officers surrounding you as well. This is a team effort. And you go through six or seven rounds, if I'm counting properly, because every group gets a chance with several different volunteers. So by the end of the night, I'm pretty tired, especially when I've come off from working the Joy Cardine show at 5 in the morning. That heel-to-toe thing is difficult for me, even when I'm sober. I mean, just trying to maintain your balance and not weeble-wobble too much. Mm-hmm. So imagine trying to do that after you've been fed a few ounces of gin.
And then, Deanna, let's get into how police take the data, their observations of how Cynthia, someone like Cynthia, walks and her eye reaction. How are they reading that? How do they learn how to assess the intoxication of a person based on that visual evidence?
Well, through research, we've learned what we should expect to see for standardized clues. This program's been around since the 70s and actually became part of Wisconsin's training in the mid-1980s. We've been using it ever since here. So we have learned through research and replication of the research that if someone shows four clues on the HGN or the eyes, that we would expect their BACs to be above 0.10 at a certain percentage of the time. Walk and turn, we have standard clues that we look for. If they miss heel to toe, if they raise their arms, if they step offline, if they take an improper turn, all those are different clues that we teach the recruits to look for and help them assess how that individual is doing on those field sobriety tests. And that they can kind of equate towards an impairment level.
Is there a worry that someone might be more nimble than someone else? Cynthia and I might be clumsy and have trouble walking that line sober, and other people might be more agile. Could they outsmart or outfox the system that way?
I wouldn't say outsmart. We do have individuals that are great athletes that have wonderful balance. The thing with the eyes is you can't practice that. You can't prevent your eyes from doing that. So that's why the horizontal gaze nystagmus test is so good for us to check for central nervous system depressants. As far as the others, you know, the recruits always have that question because we're in such a sterile environment. We bring them Cynthia. They don't get to see Cynthia driving. They don't talk to her. They don't get to see anything. They don't get to ask anything. They just presented her and say, do fields. So it is somewhat of a sterile environment and safe environment for them to get an exposure to what we're teaching them in the classroom.
And how quickly do they get better at it? How much of an improvement is there beyond just having them go out and the first time they do it is with the first person they pull over?
We have two nights of the wet workshops is what we call them, and you can see an incredible increase in their confidence from day one, from day two. In day one, they're more concerned about getting their instructions right and that they performed everything correctly. By day two, they're sitting there actually looking at what the drivers or the volunteers are giving them for clues. It's a perishable skill, and if they don't continue to use it, of course, the skill becomes less accurate. And so we always advocate that they're out there utilizing what we've trained them.
Well, obviously, drunk driving, a big problem here in Wisconsin. I assume the Academy does other kinds of training as well, but how big a focus is impaired driving, intoxicated driving at your Academy?
We're lucky enough in our Academy to have the resources, and they expand the program for us. The Department of Justice requires 32 hours. We expand that up to 40 hours and include a special emphasis on drug-impaired drivers as well, since we know that's a huge problem in our city. And we're able to break into small groups, as Cynthia mentioned. We break these down into three groups, or groups of three with an individual instructor per group. So we're lucky here to have the support from our department to give this a high priority in making sure that they're trained accurately and proficiently in these skills.
Cynthia, let's bring you back in and get back into your experience as a volunteer drinker. If you don't mind revealing this information, what were your blood alcohol counts at the time that you were in over, maybe, and the time you were in under?
This time, they gave me 8 ounces of gin, and my numbers were 0.062, 0.036, 0.029, and 0.026.
Under the legal limit?
Yes.
And did you pass the tests under that?
A couple of people arrested me, mm-hmm. but most passed me.
And in the previous year, do you remember you were over the
I
legal
was
limit?
Over, and I don't remember the exact numbers. I want to say it was a 0.13, and then I passed twice.
Wow.
Somehow.
Well, maybe it was their first time doing this, though.
Yeah.
So what did you, Cynthia, take away from this? What did it make you think about our safety on the roads in Wisconsin?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. After I did this last year, I became much more conscientious about how much I drink. And I was over by the time they measured me the first time. So I don't know what that threshold was. I didn't know when I crossed the legal line. And it just made me more cautious in my own personal life and daily decision making if I were to go out and have a drink with dinner or something like that. This time being an under two, I was more sober. I was more aware of what the officers were learning and what they're taking into consideration. It was a great learning experience for me, and I continue to take that away with me, too. It just made me a more responsible consumer.
Officer Deanna Riley, in addition to training the officers, it seems like there's maybe some educational material here potentially for the rest of us here to hear about an experience like Cynthia's.
Absolutely. This is, in my opinion, a win-win for everyone. The volunteers learn where their thresholds are. It's interesting. We'll give them half of a dose and ask them halfway through, how do you feel? Would you drive? And the majority say, no, I wouldn't drive. I'm impaired. We give them the second half of their dose to get them over, and by the time they have consumed it all, would you drive? Yeah, I'm fine. Hmm. So they learn from how much they've had and how they feel where their limits are, and it's more of an issue of not what is the number, but how do you feel. If you are impaired at an 07, you shouldn't be driving. It doesn't matter what that number is.
If people are interested in doing this, how big a demand is there for volunteer drinkers?
There is academies, and they can check with their technical colleges in their area. Everybody has academies and are required to have these wet workshops. We hold an academy once a year, but I do know tech colleges hold it every three times a year. So their demand is much higher. They could certainly reach out to the law enforcement academies and say that they would like to volunteer to be drinkers. It's always good to get a pair of fresh perspective, not someone that's been through it, so that they don't know the tests, and it's good educational tool for those that volunteer as well.
Here's a question maybe everybody out there is thinking. I just thought of it. Did you have a driver, Cynthia?
I did. It was Norman Gilliland.
Ah, WPR's own celebrity designated driver, Norman Gilliland. And Officer Riley, is that a requirement for volunteers, that there's somebody there to drive them home?
Absolutely. We have an agreement that they have to sign before they can be released.
All right. Well, I guess the officers would otherwise get more on-the-job training as everybody's in the parking lot afterward. Well, Officer Riley, thank you so much for being with us and sharing how this training works.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
And Cynthia Schuster, back to work?
Yep.
We've been talking to Officer Deanna Riley. She's a traffic specialist with the Madison Police Department. WPR's Cynthia Schuster was a volunteer drinker in this police field sobriety training exercise. Teaches law enforcement officers how to see if people are drunk when they're out on the road.